Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In our lesson today, we'll continue a discussion about the relationship of the Christian to the civil government, to the laws of the land in which he lives. And we've talked about how that there is the earthly kingdom, and this Christian is a citizen of the spiritual kingdom, which is the Lord's church. Of course, the Christian is a citizen in both kingdoms. For instance, we're citizens of the United States, and if we be Christians, we're citizens of the kingdom of God. But these two kingdoms are different. One is earthly, the other is spiritual. It's a heavenly kingdom. And the laws that govern one are not the same laws that govern the other. And therefore, there is a potential conflict for the Christian because there's a difference in man-made laws and the divine laws that God has given. And a mistake that a lot of people make regarding the civil government is to try to govern the civil government by laws that God has given to his spiritual kingdom. There is to be a distinction between the two, and the laws that govern one do not necessarily govern the other. Now, we've talked about how that the Christian, of course, is a citizen of both, and he enjoys privileges from both, but he has duties to both. Now, let us focus our attention for just a little bit on our duties to civil government. In Romans chapter 13 and Matthew 22, Christians are directed to pay their taxes, and they're taught to obey the laws of the land, and to submit to the authority of those in civil power, Romans 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2. You see, the Christian enjoys protection from the lawless because he's a citizen of the earthly kingdom, over which the civil rulers reign. And this protection, it's for all citizens. This protection from the civil government is not just because he's a Christian. It's because he's a citizen of the earthly kingdom. But the Christian enjoys benefits not simply because he's a Christian, but because he's a citizen of his country. Now, those enforcing civil law, they're doing what God requires. Without civil law, there could not be an orderly society. It's not an evil or a sinful work to do what God requires. And God has, as we have studied, has ordained there be civil government, and those who are involved in the civil government, they do not sin because they're not a part of something necessarily evil. All civil government is not evil. Now, Christians have the duty also to pray for their leaders in civil government and to pray that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. 1 Timothy chapter 2. James tells us that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One of the great benefits that the Christian can give to his country is fervent prayer unto God, to live a righteous life so his prayer will be heard by God. Now, Christians, as we have noted, we cannot do all that the government may permit, because the government will allow many things that God says are sinful. And we've taken note, such as drinking alcoholic beverages, divorcing for any and most no cause whatever, gambling, and many other things that the government will allow. Well, the laws of the land will permit it, but the laws of God will not permit the Christian to do that. And friend, just because something is legal according to the laws of the land, that does not mean it's approved of God. God never sanctions anything that's immoral, but the Christian must live within the limitations of legality nonetheless, with this one exception: unless he's commanded to do that which would violate the law of God. The Christian cannot do anything required by civil government that requires him to violate and to disobey a law of God. For you see, men make civil laws. God made the spiritual laws, and our first allegiance is to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In Acts the 5th chapter, we read where the apostles, though they were commanded by earthly authorities to cease their preaching of the gospel, they said we must obey God rather than men. Well, the Christian lives by that principle. And here's where the potential conflict could become a reality. If the government should require something that God disallows, the Christian says, no, I will not do that. The government then steps outside of its ordained authority. While we cannot disobey laws that we simply don't like, we must ignore laws and commands and orders from civil government if they cause us to violate the laws of God. Now, there are privileges the civil government may allow that are indifferent as far as being faithful to God is concerned. For instance, this neither spiritually right nor wrong concerning voting. Voting is a privilege. Christians may vote if they choose, or if they choose not to vote, that's all right. Either way, is no sin involved. However, let me suggest that the influence of Christian people might make society better and might produce better leaders, leaders of better quality, if they would exercise their influence by the use of this privilege of voting. But all nations don't allow their citizens the privilege of voting. We have it in this country, and let us not take for granted that it will continue. And a Christian may hold a public office. Some say the Christian can't because the government is evil. That's a false idea. We read in Romans 16 about a man named Erastus. He was a chamberlain. That meant he was the treasurer of the city. Nothing is even suggested that the Ethiopian eunuch, who had command over the treasury of Candace, nothing is suggested that he had to resign his post as a government official upon coming to Christ. And then there was Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman soldier. We don't read any suggestion of his having to resign from the Roman army. And there were Christians in Caesar's household, and they were official government people. And do you realize that when John the Baptist, in his work preparing the way for the kingdom, responded to the inquiries of soldiers what they had to do, he said in such fashion that they could remain soldiers because they were not to take advantage of others, and they were to be content with their wages, Luke 3:14. Why, that simply meant that they would continue in the role that they had as soldiers. Those that obeyed the instructions would be prepared, however, for the kingdom of the Lord. I suppose one of the most controversial areas regarding the Christian in civil government is whether he can serve as a soldier or a policeman. Now, while this involves relatively few, it is an important matter. Just what governmental people will allow, and which ones shall we disallow? What of the teachers? They serve civil government. The clerks, the tax collectors, other elected and appointed officials who are government workers, the mailman, the man that picks up the trash. May they serve, or must they remove themselves from all government service? Why, friend, we have to be careful of the laws that we make as to who can and who cannot serve in government. The scriptures teach, remember, that God has ordained civil government and has given government certain necessary functions for orderly society, and as I have noted, even the right to use physical force to this end, and they are God's ministers in this. Is it sinful for one to do what God has made necessary? Why, certainly not. Are only the servants of the devil to serve the government as God's ministers? If so, do you know which servants of the devil they should be? Should they be like Hitler, or just a good moral non-Christian? And where's the authority for your answer? Or it's a strange doctrine that says only the servants of the devil can do what God's work and forbid that which God's own people from doing God's work. You see, it is in this area that many make the mistake of taking the laws governing God's spiritual kingdom and try to impose them on the operation of the civil government. Once a man would ask me, why, if only the servants of the devil can serve in the civil government and the civil government protects us from the lawless, we better not convert too many or there won't be anybody to protect us. Friend, we do not believe for a moment that one cannot serve in these capacities in civil government. But we need to understand the best citizen in any country is the Christian. That is, if the Christian is as he ought to be. This is because the Christian will obey the laws. He will work for morality. He will respect authority. He realizes that, as Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. The Christian helps his country best by being righteous and striving to promote God's righteousness. That is the way the nation will be exalted. Yes, God expects us to be loyal, law-abiding, interested supporters of our nation, and our nation is to do what God has ordained it to do. This becomes a problem as government more and more assumes what it was never intended to assume, and it's difficult when the government begins to be antagonistic toward the religious teaching of the found in the Bible. It's difficult when the laws of the land would defy the laws of God, but we know what our duty is in such a circumstance as that. If we're part of the governmental service, we should do our best to discharge our duty to the nation to the very best of our ability. But we must always, friend, keep in mind spiritual salvation in the spiritual kingdom, that comes first with the Christian. It must be that way in everything that we do. Yes, we want to be loyal. We want to be thankful to the government in which we live. And we have been so blessed in this country. Do you realize that so many people of the world do not have what probably we take for granted, and that's religious freedom? We can, unless there be some while a person come in and destroy and disturb our services, we can assemble for worship. We have the protection of the government as we assemble. We are free to serve God the way God says. We allow others to do whatever they want to do, but we are allowed to only do what God will have us to do as living the Christian life. And part of living the Christian life is to be obedient to the laws of the land. It is to respect the authority of civil government. It is to pray for our leaders that they might lead us in the right direction. It is to pay our taxes in support of the things that God has ordained government to do. And when Christians will mobilize themselves, when they will exert their influence in this nation, why, it will exalt the nation, because the Christian promotes righteousness, and this is what God wants for every nation. Well, we hope that we'll think seriously concerning our relationship with our government, and as Christians, discharge our responsibilities as we take advantage of our many blessings. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.